Today is Sunday, the 13th of March, 2016, and Baruch Hashem, I say Shavuot Tov, Gutvach to all those listening and those in front. A number of comments on ideas I've thrown out, or source I've quoted, and I want to thank Rabbi Grunstein. We spoke about the Rav not washing the lady's hands for duchening. So I explained it has to do with the way the Rav viewed Shmon Esrei as a kiyum bitzibur. In addition to the yachirub davens, when you daven bitzibur, you have a second higher kiyum of Shmon Esrei. So Yoshua referred me to the Magen Avraham, who says, she'im ha'levi chacham v'kohanim amei aretz ein tzarich litein mayim al yedeihem. But I have to tell you, I heard from the Rav with my own two ears that that's not the reason he doesn't wash the hands. The reason is because of Chazarat Hashatz, with his feet together, not moving. And Rabbi Grunstein sent me a source in the Igrot HaGrid HaLevi, beginning on page 36. You will find a whole discussion of what I spoke about in class of the Rav during Shmon Esrei. And very, very fascinating. Everything I said in class is right there in the Igrot HaGrid. You know what I'm talking about, the Igrot HaGrid. That was letters of the Rav to his father's letters to him, letters of the Rav to Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, put together after his death, sponsored by his son, my classmate, Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, and put together by the Rav's grandson, Rabbi Yitzchak Lichtenstein, and my own student was involved, Rabbi Chaim or Howard Ilson, and they did a very, very nice job. Igrot HaGrid is worth, if you're on the level, to take out time and go through it al haseda. I also want to mention that Yomo sent me a fascinating source that actually I'm responsible for its publication, responsible for it happening actually. It's a memorial volume in memory of my dear friend and someone I still haven't gotten over his murder, Harav Dr. David Yaakov Halevi Applebaum. Dr. Applebaum, as you recall, murdered with his daughter who had just gone to mikveh. She was getting married the next night. They were murdered in Emek Rephaim by the, oh, God have mercy, let's not even dignify them, just murderers, terrible murderers. And I told his widow, Deborah, my student, that when you publish the book in memory of David, put in the details of his trip to Russia. I sent him, and this appears twice. It appears here in the book. It also appears in Hebrew. Again, it was my doing in the volume Benetiv HaDmama, the volume that the Mossad put out about her operation in Russia. So here he tells the story of this Maskin Ishkachet for me. I have to thank you, but I remember living it with David and how angry he was. And he's describing Shabbat morning in Moscow in the 1980s. On Shabbat morning, we went to the Moscow synagogue, to the minyan in the small room. There were close to 200 people in the big shul and about 80 in the small shul. Among the people we knew in the small shul was Emma Shifrin, age 16, who teaches three groups of women, Hebrew and Chumash, standing behind the last row of shtenders. So we spoke about the Mechitza, and it's very interesting. Let me describe to you what David is describing. The Choral Synagogue was the only functioning synagogue in Moscow. Although in the suburbs, they did tolerate, at that time, a small, in a suburb of Moscow, they did tolerate a small Chabad shul. That small Chabad shul today is a major building, a major center of Yiddishkeit, a major center of Chabad in the Soviet Union. But in the official synagogue was the one right near the Kremlin within walking distance, and it was a big, beautiful shul, and on the side was a shtibbel. in the shtibble, it was the old-time Jews, including many old-time Chabadnikim, there was no room for women. Now, the Shifrin family was a family Yesh Mayayin that became frum in Russia, and already by the mid-80s, there was Machlekes in Russia, a sign of a healthy Jewish community, and the Shifrin family was mamish in the middle of the two different groups that were constantly arguing. And fabulous children. The family later comes to Israel, totally integrated. If I'm not mistaken, the son winds up in Panovich. I may be wrong. I may be confusing him with a different family, but they really integrated beautifully here. And Emma Shifrin, who was 16 at the time, must be a grandmother many times over today. And she was standing behind the last row of shtenders. Now, while they were davening, you have no mechitza. At the same time that David and Zalman, his partner, the two that I sent to Russia were there, Agudah sent Shlichim to Russia. Now, without going into any detail, the person responsible for Agudah getting involved in Russia and sending Shlichim to Russia is a guy who was once named Ani Rothkopf. You can draw your own conclusions what his name was later. So all that's going on there, I'm the guy who engendered it, fine. And the emissary, while the Shifrin girl is davening behind the number of shtenders standing in a corner, the emissary from Agudah said a few words to Emma, and I saw her walk out. And I went up to the emissary and asked him, "Did you tell Emma to go out?" He answered, "Oh no, I was more diplomatic than that. I suggested that she join my wife sitting outside." You see what the Agudah Shaliach was about, that there wasn't a good mechitza. I told him, David says, that first the shtender wall was 10 tfachim high and served as a mechitza. I also told him, in the name of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, that one woman in a shul is not a ta'arofet. Thirdly, I told him, she is an important person, an isha chashuva, and he should stand up for her. And the description goes on. I'll give it out later. If anyone wants it, you're welcome to take it. But very fascinating what we uncover and what comes up. So those are three comments on Shiurim that we have said. And let's move further. Today is a very exciting shiur. Wait till you see where we wind up, exactly in Yeshiva University. Okay, who's coming in? Come in. Okay, Shaya. And I just want to be sure we have a minion. Right, this moment we have a minion. No one should leave, so that the old timers like myself and Yitzchak and Herbie can daven and go home and collapse. Rabbi Reuben, how are you feeling before we begin? You look good. Your coloring is good. Everything should be well tomorrow. Yes, Rav Hashem. Okay. We're in the middle of a question that has haunted us and still haunts us. And we're going back 30, 25 years. Women want to find their own minyanim. And Dov Frimmer, and this I found out, I don't know if you picked it up, but Dov Frimmer was very close to Reb Menashe Klein when they lived in Brooklyn together. It's not that as a fremda. Menashe Klein knew him very well, and he's answered all his questions, and they had an ongoing relationship. And his brother, someone who comes, Charlie Hexter is very friendly with Dov from his brother who lives in Rehovot. And his brother told, I think his name is Aryeh Frimmer, and Aryeh told Charlie Hexter that this relationship was ongoing, and it explains, you'll see in some of the children, he says to Dov, "When we were together, we spoke about this, and I want to elaborate now." So you can understand. That I don't know, you have to ask him. It's a Yekka, he's a Yekka from Washington Heights. It could be they're related. Now, so he gets the question, and we spoke about it in great length, and you can see that the Mishnah Halacha is very upset. Women belong at home. He quotes the Rambam, Kvodat Bat HaMelech Panima, the famous Rambam that women should only go out once or twice a month. I need not tell you that that Rambam is not very popular today with the Jofa people, with the feminists, but everything has to be understood in context, and if you don't understand what Tzniut is all about, you can't really comprehend what's halacha and what is a subjective feeling and what is an objective feeling. And it's the Rambam is not to be decried, not to be left, not chas v'chalila. The Rambam is describing the reality where he lived, and women did not go out, women stayed at home. Women are permitted, he quotes the Rambam, to go to a Beit Avel, to go to a Beit Mishteh, to visit her father. And I can tell you that if I would say to my wife, you can only go out for these reasons, I think I would be kicked out of the house. That would be the result, you understand? So with the women today, it doesn't mean they're not snuot, and they're not upgehit, as we say in Yiddish. What does that mean, Shimon, Simon? Upgehit, careful in observance. But as I told you, I had Rebbeim, Tzaddikei Yesod Olam, I don't want to mention names, and their wives went with short sleeves above the elbow. And that was accepted. We have pictures of Agudat Yisrael people packing packages to be sent to the DP camps in 1946, 1947. And many of the women, the way they dressed there, today Agudat would add sleeves, would have sleeves brushed in. But that was the way they dressed. So you have to understand the Rambam, and that's Reb Menashe Klein's thinking. He says women are not obligated to pray, women don't have to go to shul. What's the advantage of shul? And we went in last week an entire discourse, a very interesting discourse, that the whole advantage of shul is the fact that the Shekhinah is there. Hashkina Shruya Shama. And where the Shekhinah is where one should pray. And a woman, the way Reb Menashe Klein interprets the Gemara, is a kenegdo, zacha ezra, lo zacha kenegdo. And where the woman is at home, she causes the Shekhinah to rest. When a husband and wife get along, the Shekhinah is with them. And therefore, a woman can pray at home, Giddy. She doesn't have to run to shul. The Shekhinah is in the shul. The woman is in the shul. And that also explains why a woman can pray. You see, Reb Menashe Klein can't conceive of a woman knowing Hebrew, being able to pray in Hebrew. For Reb Menashe Klein, this was something beyond the pale. Today, I need not tell you, my great-granddaughter, all she speaks is Hebrew. My daughter and her mother and her grandmothers, we all try to speak English to her, and she refuses to respond, and English was the first language spoken to her. We did it purposely, so she should retain both languages. No. This kid, 3 years old, knows Hebrew better than Giddy and Yomo put together. Right or wrong, let's be honest, better, and I'll add the Rebbe as well, okay? And we'll throw in Herbie Maltz, okay? Baruch Hashem, if Eliezer ben Yehuda would see what he accomplished here, it would be unbelievable. And he can't conceive of women davening in Hebrew. So they have to daven in English. English is like Aramaic. The only place you can daven in any language is in a shul, because the Shekhinah is in the shul. If you're outside of the shul, the malachim who have to take your prayers to God don't understand any language outside of Hebrew. But women are allowed to daven in the house because the Shekhinah is there. Okay, and that's what we did last week. And as I said, that part where Reb Menashe Klein deals with the Shekhinah, you can elaborate, it's a beautiful compliment to women that they create the Shekhinah in the house. Now, Reb Menashe Klein adds something else that I frankly have never seen, but very fascinating. And it comes back to Takanat Ezra. We all know that Ezra wanted the Jews to live with a certain amount of purity, By the way, I can tell you, in the year 2016, Avraham, there's probably nothing we need more than Takarat Ezra. V'day lechachama b'remisa. I don't want to go into detail, but you understand what I'm saying. We are so sexually sinful. There's a scandal going on now over Shabbos. My grandchildren, they were laughing and laughing. So I told them, Hayuda Barim Me'olam. I filled them in some of what happened back in 69, 70. But there's a scandal with a shasnik from the Knesset, that he was in a hotel, and I don't want to go any further. And they can prove it. And this was exactly a trial in the early 70s when the Yitzhak Raphael sued Sylvia Keshet, the gossip columnist for Haaretz, for defamation. Yitzhak, do you remember this? It's before your time. And when he was in France in a hotel, and he's suing her, and then they're ready to bring witnesses from France. Suddenly the suit was settled out of court. He paid her off, and that was the end of the defamation suit. So we could use Takanat Ezra, take my word for it. Okay, now what does Takanat Ezra mean? That every man has to go to mikveh after he has a seminal mission. Fine. So they found Takanat Ezra too hard. So they were mavatel Takanat Ezra. But all of you know, particularly those of you that are Hasidim, and particularly Chabad Hasidim, although it applies to all Hasidim, basically, what do you mean, Mavatel Takanat Ezra? They found that very hard to comprehend. And many reached the conclusion they were Mavatel it for, due to the fact that a Jew has to study Torah. So if a Jew doesn't go to mikveh, doesn't have time to go to mikveh, finds it hard to go to mikveh, he's ill, he doesn't want to go into a cold mikveh or a warm mikveh, or whatever the reason is, he doesn't want to go out of the house, it's cold, he's not going to learn Torah, so they mevatel it. But many Hasidim feel that the takanah still exists for davening. So you must go to mikveh for davening. So Reb Menashe Klein, and I have to say, this may be a dat yachid, I don't believe anyone else has ever come up with this, says that women, in order to daven, really should go to mikveh. They certainly shouldn't go into the shul. That the takana of Ezra applies to women as well as to men. For men, women also, if they have relations, no? So there are missions, if what a woman admits from her body, that too has dinim of tumah v'tara and all that goes with it, and zava gedola and nida, and she too has to go to mikveh in order to daven, not to learn Torah. She's not obligated. So perhaps for her, they kept the takana. They didn't abolish it. It's not that she has to go and learn Torah. And if that's the case, she certainly shouldn't go to shul. She should daven in the house. And here's very interesting, and I would like to know if you can validate this. Rabbi Menashe Klein says, and this is why it's Minhag Yisrael, that women go to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. Tavlu Hanashim. Why? Because that's when they go to shul to daven. Malka's grandmother, who was a tzaddikit and came to America in the 1880s and remained firm and raised all her children with Shomer Shabbos originally. Afterwards, the two boys got groomed. One of them came back much later in life. He died of Shomer Shabbos. One never came back. The two girls remained Shomrat Shabbat. My mother-in-law in particular, I give her all the credit, a tzaddikit, she never went to shul. Women don't go to shul. She comes from Meshbitz Chassidim. Whoever heard of women going to shul? Rosh Hashanah, they went to hear shofar. And Yom Kippur too, they went for certain parts of the davening. So that's why a Minhag Yisrael that women go to mikveh. Tell me, Rabbi Reuben, have you ever seen women going to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? I have never seen it. I don't ever recall. Anybody here can tell me, what about among the Svadim? What in the Bukharan community? Do women go to mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur? You don't know. Do the men go? Shimon. You never saw it. And in England, do people go to mikveh of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur? The men? The men go. You take it like a zil krei rafu, axiomatic. And it's an interesting vort from Rabbi Menashe Klein, but I have never seen it. Okay. And then he ends off the tshuva, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this later today in a different context. The old problem, misora, that women can be the most important people in the world. Natan, we owe our existence to women, not just as mothers, not just as women giving birth. No, we owe our existence, Yetziat Mitzrayim, only came about because the women encouraged the men to go further. The men wanted to give up. What kind of world is this? I know people have been interviewed in the New York Times. They don't bring children into the world. They're so proud. They reach 60, 70, and they never brought children into this terrible world. I don't know. Just think for a minute. If our parents had that attitude, none of us would be sitting here. And in Mitzrayim, knew it's the Medrash, you all know, the Jews, the men were losing hope. And the women, when they came home from a hard day's work, sat them down under the tree, the apple tree, and brought them good food and took out a mirror, right or wrong, Chazal, look, I'm more beautiful than you are handsome. And the men suddenly had a desire, and we have children. We have Moshe Rabbeinu and Dor Yetziat Mitzrayim. Not only that, the Nes of Hanukkah, women played a major role, right or wrong. The milk, they put the guy to sleep, killed him. The Nes of Purim coming up, it's all Esther Hamalka, no two ways about it. The men, Mordechai HaTzadik, played a very small role compared to Esther Hamalka, who put her life on the line. So he says, with all due respect to women and all that we owe the women, but one thing is for sure, tradition. We never had women minyanim. We never had women prayer groups. We never had women reading the Torah. We never had women making minyanim for Megillat Esther. All this is unheard of. We never had women dancing with Sifrei Torah in the shul. And Mesorah, we cannot innovate. And that's the way Rabbi Menashe Klein ends off his tshuva. Now, I don't have to tell you, the last part of what I've said, how is Alex feeling? Tell me. I'm not getting an answer. Okay. That means he's well and fine and he's running to America again. That Wexner scholarship is the ruination of a Rebbe who teaches such brilliant people. Okay. So, Zayna Zay. But I want to make this clear to you. This problem we live with, we suffer with. How much can we innovate? What can we accept? What must we reject? And this is the heart of the problem. And this problem haunts us. It's a problem filled with tension, with emotion. It's going on at the Kotel today. It's going on in the Knesset today. It's going on with every thinking Jew. And I need not elaborate. On one hand, we do innovate. The clothes we're wearing, we are affected by the big world. I would be a very different person if I was born 300 years ago and lived in a ghetto. Right or wrong? The Rav's Torah, the name of Rav Kook, I want to give credit to Rav Kook. Whenever the Rav said it, he always quoted Rav Kook. That a person says, if I would be born before my time, Eini Kedai, I wouldn't be capable. But the fact that we're born at this time, in this world, in this place, we can conquer it. But there's a big difference between who we would have been in Brisk and who we are in Manhattan, Washington Heights, Yeshiva University, Lakewood, wherever you turn today, Satma, what? The American Satma Chassid? is the same as the Ungarische Satma of 80, 90 years ago? Absolutely not. If you've gone into, what's it, 47th Street Photo, what is it called? B&H today. I'm behind the times. B&H, 47th Street Photo gave birth to B&H. Have you ever been to B&H? You know what I'm talking about? It's like a square block in the heart of Manhattan, the most expensive real estate in the world, basically. And it's owned by Satma Hasidim. The people working there, many of them Satma. People come from all over the world to buy equipment there, electronic equipment, computers. Every department has experts who will tell you what you need. So you see, it's a very delicate question. What can we innovate? What can't we? And we struggle with it. And as I say more than once, it's a work in motion. It's not complete yet. We don't have all the answers. Give us 100 years, and you'll see the great Rabbanim, Yoreim v'Shleimim, the men and the women, will work out the modus vivendi that will enable us to carry on Torah and tradition and dignity. But right now, we're caught up in the maelstrom. Now, all my words and all that Rav Menashe Klein said pale by comparison to the probably, and you can disagree with me, but I think I'm right, the most important responsum ever to be written by a YU Rosh Yeshiva, a responsum written 30 years ago, 31 years ago, 32 years ago, still quoted by some people with awe and other people detractors of the responsa, or responsum I should say. And what am I talking about? Rav Heschel Schechter, but it's not only his responsum, as we will see on this very topic. It parallels Rav Menashe Klein very interestingly on the most basic issue, which we just spoke about, and I'll refer to it in a second. Rav Heschel Schechter, total disagreement with Rav Menashe Klein. So are you all familiar with this tshuva? Are you okay? No, I see.
Is it the one on the women's prayer?
Let me begin at the beginning. What? Excuse me.
Is it the one on the women's prayer groups? That one.
Yeah, then we're about the same shayla prayer groups.
Yeah.
Be'ikvei Hatzon is the name of the sefer.
When was this published?
The tshuva was written. We have an exact date at the end. I believe it was 85. It's a very long tshuva. Let me just check the date. Yeah. Yud Tet Kislev, very interesting for Chabadnikim, 1985. Or it could be 84. No, it's 84. Yud Tet Kislev, look at a calendar, check on your... you know, there's always a problem with the year, because the Jewish year begins... where's everyone running? Go ahead. I never saw. I thought something happened in the hallway. But we always have a problem with the Jewish year, because let's say, where are we now? We're Tash Av. New Tash Av is 2015, 2016. So it depends when the secular calendar changed. I have a feeling Yud Tet Kislev 1984. Now, B'Kvei Chatzon is one of the two. Reb Heschel has written many sferim about the Rav, but as far as I recall, two main sferim of responsa literature. B'Kvei Chatzon is a very important volume. He deals with many contemporary topics. The title, B'Kvei Chatzon, B'Ruach Halacha, B'Rurei Halacha, is based upon a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that we follow the sheep, and Chazal interpreted to mean we follow tradition. We follow the sheep, we don't innovate, we keep with the herd. It means we have a Mesorah, we have a Torah Shabbat Peh, we have a living Torah. Okay, and this volume, the B'Kvei Chatzon, appeared in 1997. Now, I'm quoting from Siman Hey. And let me show you, you have to understand, 1970s, the feminine, well, First of all, we have a klal like this, and I've lived it, I've seen it, it's absolutely correct. We say in Yiddish, by the way, Heshi Rav Shechta, let me say Rav Shechta, we grew up together, so automatically I say Heshi, I'm Ani to him, but whenever I call him, I get a call, whatever, I'll always say it, it's Ani Rothkopf. I'm not going to play games and tell him who I am today. We know each other as Ani and Heshi, but okay. Rav Shechta quotes it, you know what that means? So ultimately, whatever happens in the big world beyond us catches up with us. It takes 10 years, 15 years. Now it's much quicker because the internet has made the world much smaller. So you have to bear that in mind. It's much, much quicker today. So the feminist movement started hitting us in the 70s. The proof that I'm correct is the Rav gave his famous talk on Parshat Korach, which remains a lodestar in how to deal with the innovations and what the feminist movement is requesting, or at times requesting, how to deal with it from a Torah gestalt, is the Rav's talk on Parshat Korach in the early 70s. I believe it was 74, but you can check it out. I believe it's online. You can hear it. It was given at the RCA convention. You don't have to know Yiddish. It was given in English. And it's a masterful talk by the Rav. We'll come back to that talk when we deal, the next major topic we'll cover is Reb Menashe Klein and his description of the feminine mystique. And you'll see how Reb Menashe Klein, from his Hungarian background, on some basic understanding, is exactly like the Rav. It's very fascinating. So here, it's already the 80s, and the Yeshiva University Reitz faculty is shaking all over. The women want prayer groups. And he begins like this: in some Orthodox synagogues, they now have hakafah for women on Simchat Torah. Now, you all know what that's about. The women want the Sefer Torah. The rabbi sees they're pressing him, he'll agree, take the Torah, but go into a different area and dance and do as you wish there. Okay, I've gotten this shaila time after time after time. I can only tell you, my wife and all my daughters, and the overwhelming majority of my granddaughters-in-law and my granddaughter don't dance with a Sefer Torah. The only one that might have a yetzer for it is a granddaughter-in-law who's of American origins. But all the ones of the Israeli, wow, they look at, what are you, crazy? What are we got enough mitzvot, enough to do. All right. Then he says, minyanim miyuchadim lenashim letfila. They want to have their own minyan. They want to have their own Kriyat HaTorah. You saw at the Kotel, the women are reading at the southern wall. The women are reading from the Torah, the Kriyat Megillah. And by the way, there's a big difference between Kriyat HaTorah or Kriyat HaMegillah, where women are reading for women, okay? Again, halachically, there you really can't usher it. 99% of the poskim, women for women. But it's not the Masorah. Whoever heard of this in the ghetto? Women should get up and read the Megillah. It's an interesting question. And he says, V'achar ha'iyun v'hadiyun b'metinit u'b'chabura im kamarei shem etifta ha'yeshiva. Ah, he says, but we've thought this over very carefully. B'metinit, do you know what that word means in Hebrew? How would you say it in English? Matinat is deliberation, careful deliberation, matinut. In other words, it's moderate, but it means I'm not hasty. I didn't reach the hasty conclusion. And I sat with my colleagues. In other words, this is dibur chaverim. It's not me speaking alone, and we'll see what he means later. And he says, we have reached the conclusion that all this is usa for many, many reasons. Now, you know how the tshuva begins? Exactly the opposite of Reb Menashe HaKatan. What did Reb Menashe HaKatan say at the start? women are not obligated in prayer. They're not letting to go to the synagogue. A woman can be yotzei with one tchinah a day. They're not obligated kriya satera. They have no obligation whatsoever. And there's no need for them to push their way into the shul. Allah had come of a kama to make a private prayer group. Reb Heschel takes for granted that women are obligated or can bring themselves to obligation. Tfilah Tzibur. Everything that the Tzibur does, a woman can do as well. And what does that mean? Well, Tfilah B'Tzibur. When you meet someone, we have plenty of good Shomer Shabbos Jews who don't daven with a minyan. I'm always shocked when I meet a real Shomer Shabbos, an Elach Yid. I ask him, where do you daven? Daven bam kaisel. Remember I explained that expression to you. He davens by the wall in his house. It's an expression. When I first came to Israel, I was very friendly with a whole group of geniuses that studied with Reb Aaron Lichtenstein and Har Etzion. They've conquered the world here in Israel today. But they all married students of mine from Michlala. So very friendly with them. So one time I asked one of them, I don't want to mention his name, but he's a world famous professor, Talmud Chacham. I say, what are you daven? He says to me, Bam Kaisel. And I really thought it meant that he went to the kotel every morning to daven. Then I later found out, don't fall for it. You follow me? Okay, don't fall for it. So women can bring themselves to obligation. What does that mean? They have to daven properly. They have to hear Kedusha. They have to hear Kaddish. They have to hear Kriyat HaTorah. And all that happens in a shul. And only men can do it. 10 women cannot make a minyan. 10 women cannot create Kedusha. 10 women are not an Eidah. Only 10 men. They have to go to shul. Well, if they make their own prayer group, and Reb Heschel uses the expression, mitzvot shelo b'shleimutan. Yes, they're davening. They're hearing the Torah, but it's not b'shleimut. They're lacking. Danny, I would like to put Reb Menashe Klein together with Reb Heschel in one room. We can't do it anymore. And I'd like to discuss this with them. Totally antithesis. Not only that, Reb Heschel quotes Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Rav Soloveitchik, quoting his uncle, quoting Reb Velvel, here, it's right here in the tshuva. Moreinu agon Reb Yosef Dan Soloveitchik, b'shem Dodo agon Reb Velvel. I heard it from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim, so he says Reb Velvel, all right, maybe Rav Shachter is right. He studied with the Rav, eye to eye with the Rav many more years than I did. I can't say I was very close to the Rav for decades. I mean, that letter that he wrote to me stands on its own. You don't have to believe me. Look at the letter in the Rav's handwriting. Okay, fine. I heard it in the name Reb Chaim. Who? Reb Chaim held that an integral part of Kriyas HaTorah is Baruch Hu. If you don't hear the Baruch Hu, you're not Yotzei Kriyat HaTorah. It's Davishe B'Kedusha. And what gives the Kriyat HaTorah the chalais, the status of Davishe B'Kedusha, is Baruch Hu. If the women make their own prayer group, and he says this, I'm quoting it word by word, Harein Einom Amrat Baruch Hu. Vinimsasha ein lechem kiyum shel kriyat haTorah. Wow. No, Menashe Klein would say to Reb Heschel, so what? So what if it's not b'shleimut? They're not obligated. Okay? They're not obligated. Fascinating. But Reb Heschel B'Shalot, he holds that if they're going to do it, they have to do it right. And in order to do it right, you have to be part of the minyan with the men, with the children, with the families, with the Eidah. Then you have a full kiyum. Why be satisfied with a secondary kiyum? Okay.
But
yes.
That maybe like a tshuva like this could have like led to like feed like certain feminist ego and then led them to form partnership in Yanam, because they could say, okay, if I can't do it on my own, I might as well do it with men, and I can find all these haterim where I can do it with men and lay in front of men. And
what you're saying is that Shira Chadasha, what they call the partnership in Yanam, they have Rav Shechter's picture up on the wall and they throw dots at him. They're not happy about his position. The venom that I've heard come out of their mouths. But Rav Heschel will deal with your question much later on. But I will only answer you very, very quickly. We're not obligated to worry what will be. We are obligated to see that Torah remains whole. Halacha remains intact. Pristine. So it's a delicate problem, but we'll come to it. Okay. Then Rav Heschel already introduces, and here he rolls on the same pattern as Rav Menashe Klein, particularly with the conclusion of Rav Menashe Klein, with the whole concept of Mesoret, of tradition, but Rav Heschel is infinitely sharper. And here, this is on page 23 already. I told you where it's a very long tshuva. It's be Simen Hay, and it runs for many, many pages. Page 23, he says, wait a minute. This is Ziyuf HaTorah, that when you talk about having women their own prayer groups, what are you saying to the world? What do the feminists want to say? That women are just as important as men. They too can form a minyan. They too can do all that men do with Devarim Shebe Kedusha, in modern terminology, putting on tefillin at the kotel, and all that we've seen these last few days. And this Reb Heschel calls Ziyuf HaTorah, falsifying what the Torah is. And here he quotes a Midrash. It's a Midrash that the Rav used time and again, and it's part of the Rav's basic gestalt in philosophy, that Domelo, Chazal already say, Zekelibian Vehu, a Jew has to resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'halachta bidrachav. You have it in Chazal, in the Gemara, you have it in Midrashim. Mahu rachum afatah rachum, mahu chanim afatah chanun, mahu gomel chesed afatah tigmel chesed. And you have this time and time again. Rav Heschel says, certainly a Jew has to be truthful. What does Chazal say? Chotchemet shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. God is the source of absolute truth. And for you to go and say, women can go and be and act like men, and the Torah sanctifies it, this is Ziyuf HaTorah. That's a very strong statement. Falsification. And he tells a story here in a footnote that he heard the Rav, that when he was maspid, his uncle, Rav Velvel. So one of the things the Rav spoke about Rav Velvel was a very fascinating hesped. And I can tell you, in my humble opinion, the Rav and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's opinion, the Rav reached the heights in two hespedim that he gave. One for Rav Chaim Heller, that's known today as Kleitatsa Frehem, originally was called Shmuel HaKatan Shel Doreinu, and the other Hesped was for the Brisker Rav. Rabbi Lichtenstein considered the Hesped for the Brisker Rav the absolute apex of the Rav's innovative mind. I apologize, but I disagree with Reb Aaron. I consider the one and Reb Chaim the absolute height that one can reach, the Hesped on Pleitas Ephraim. The difference between the two is that the one and Reb Velvel is a fabulous analysis of what Brisk was all about. The one and Reb Chaim Hella is a fantastic analysis of what a living Torah is about, Torah Shabbat Peh. I can tell you that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has big support, because I remember after the Rav's Hesped on Rav Velvel, Rav Yeruchim Gerelik was dancing in the hallway. He was a Talmud of Rav Velvel, and he was just overwhelmed by the Rav. Couldn't get over it. And I remember I may have even rode back with him to the Bronx. We may have been on the bus together. We were both Bronxites. And he was blown away. But I still feel the one Rav Chaim Hella is the basis of all Yiddishkeit, of who we are. Okay? So he tells the following story about the Brisker Rav. Gentlemen, there were tremendous demonstrations in Jerusalem. All of you know why Kikar Shabbat is called Kikar Shabbat. No, do you know, Giddy? Kikar Shabbat, because they demonstrated on Shabbos there shouldn't be cars, and the Mer and the Shomatzir people used to come on motorcycles, and there was mamish lo aleinu bloodshed. And that's why it's called Kikar Shabbat. That was the first area the Yiriyah shut down. By the way, there's a very fascinating story which I may have told years ago, but I certainly didn't tell it recently with the newspapers. I think when it was 60 years since they shut down the first streets in Jerusalem, so they wrote up Kikar Shabbat. One of the interesting stories is this Shomat Sionik came on a bicycle to demonstrate, and the Charedim are yelling, you know, if you've seen the movie, Azulai HaShoter, the policeman. So and one of the kids I taught, one of the young men I taught in the kollel, his father was in that movie, screaming and shouting and throwing rocks at the cars that were going by on Shabbos. So this Shomat Fini comes on his motorcycle, and they're screaming, Shabbos, and he goes back to the kibbutz, and he's very, very troubled. Why? And he was interviewed, he told the story, because on the wall of his parents' little apartment in the kibbutz are pictures of his grandparents who were killed by Hitler. And he looks at the pictures. Gee, they look just like the people who were demonstrating with beards, payas, Hasidish Agab. What am I doing? Kids started to ask questions. No, if a Jew asks questions, the Rav's vote. Why the Haggadah Dafka is Bama Nishtana? We should teach our youth to ask questions. The Jew starts to ask questions. You don't know where it will end. And when they interview him, he's with a long beard, payas, black clothes, living in Geula, many children, grandchildren, all the result of the motorcycle crashing into the Eidah Haredit people demonstrating on Shabbos. So there were big demonstrations there. At the end of the 50s, no, can anyone tell me where else there were demonstrations? Is it still around? The pool in Emek Rephaim. No, anyone? Is the pool still there? I don't think so. Is it there? It's still there? Yeah? So the pool, the Yiriyah decided to open a pool in Emek Rephaim. You got to remember, Jerusalem is landlocked. There's no landlocked. There's no water here. There's no beach. It's not Tel Aviv. It's not Haifa. No, they're opening a pool. The pool will have mixed swimming. They went crazy with tremendous demonstrations. But the Brisker Rav refused to participate. Didn't let his followers said no. nicht bei uns. Wir darf sitzen, we have to sit and learn. We don't have to demonstrate against the pool. A few years later, oh boy, the real issue came up. A very wealthy gentleman from London, the Wolfson family, built Heichal Shlomo. And of course, everyone was talking about Heichal Shlomo. It's going to be the seat of a Sanhedrin. And all of you know where the Beit HaGadol sat in Heichal Shlomo, they sat like the Sanhedrin in a semicircle. You know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin sits, everyone should be able to see each other. And they went crazy. The Mizrahi is building Heichal Shlomo. It's going to be a Sanhedrin. They're going to change the religion. I trust you know about this. I lived it. I wasn't here yet, but I remember what went on. And the Brisker Rav issued a cherem. You're not allowed to walk in to the Heichal Shlomo. Rav Al Yashiv, there was an element in the Eid HaCharei did that never forgave Rav Shalom Yosef Al Yashiv, because his picture appears in Heichal Shlomo at the dedication ceremony when his Rebbe, Rav Herzog, was the main speaker and they dedicated it, and he was working for the State of Israel as a judge, and his picture appears. Oh, they never forgave him. That demonstration, the Brisker Rav led the charge, led the troops. What went on in Israel? Oh my, what a demonstration. Rav Maimon said a word against the Brisker Rav. His own son was a Talmud in Ponovich and spoke out about against his father, or against his grandfather, I believe. I'm skipping a generation. And the Brisker Rav knew. The Rav asked a simple question. When it came to the pool in Emek Rephaim, the Brisker Rav never got involved, never signed the placard, never signed the paskvila. Anyone who asked them, he told them not to go. And when it came to Heichal Shlomo, war was declared. Ma bein ze lezeh? And the Rav explained, all right, people want to do mixed swimming, it's sinful. People want to be Machalos Shabbos, it's sinful. But it's not changing Torah. If you establish a Heichal Shlomo, and your chief rabbinate, the main court, the Beit Din Gadol, the Ir Urim for appeal, sits there, and it morphs into a Sanhedrin. This is Ziyuf HaTorah. How can you have a Sanhedrin today? Who is eligible? Who is knowledgeable? How can you have a Sanhedrin to make Takonet Gezeidah? What are we talking about here? They were frightened stiff. Innovation. Hold on. Let me finish. I'm going to bring it right down to you and me. Innovation. Ziyuf HaTorah. That we cannot be involved with. Gentlemen, let me let you in on a little secret. You with me? This is Ziyuf HaTorah. All right, someone wants to be Machalos Shabbos. Someone wants to eat tarfis. Someone wants to swim with 15 different women chasing him like mermaids. All right, do what you want. Freedom of choice. Bechata b'chayim. But Heichal Shlomo is Ziyuf HaTorah. Natan, you know how this affects us? A guy named Rakefet has been asked, you don't have enough fingers and toes in this classroom. How many times I've been asked this question? Why didn't the Rav ever visit Israel? All right, he visited once. To stand for the chief rabbinate of Tel Aviv in 1935, as you know, Baruch Hashem, he lost, and that's why Rakefet is sitting here. He had a Rebbe one of a kind. Yitzchak Rubin is a frum kid today, only because he grew up in Boston and he had Maimonides to go to. Just think where you would be if you didn't have Maimonides. Okay. But why didn't he come back? Israel today, is not the Israel of 1935, Israel of 65, 1970. I've been asking, I want to tell you, everyone gives a Teretz Chia, Aher, Rain, Dor, Dotten, everyone, they're daydreaming this story, that story. In my humble opinion, the basic reason the Rav never came back is blood is thicker than mud. He didn't want to take on his uncle and his uncle's family. And it's, I hold this to be absolutely true. I know from the inside. I know what I'm saying. Didn't want to take on. Could you picture the Rav visiting his one? Hey, Choshlom, today, hey, Choshlom, or is nothing. It's disgraceful what happened. I can't believe Shimon go back to London and get some billionaires to spruce up the place. The shul, the main synagogue, what Mr. Wolfson built. Keep it in dignity. Understand? It's nothing. Hey, Chal Shlomo, the offices broken down. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Chal Shlomo, there's nothing there today. The chief rabbi is out, gone. I don't know what went on. They were paying rent. The great synagogue didn't have enough money to leave all the lights on. Go downstairs to the Chabad Minyan. You think you're in a dungeon. Nothing. The stairway. Chairs are broken in the main synagogue. Leaks. Big article in the paper. Leta dinero. No money. Wow. Marks and Spencer should come to our help. Could you picture the Rav visiting? You didn't know this?
No, I used to go when I lived in Rehoboth. I haven't been there.
How many years ago?
Many years. Come
on, I'm talking now when we're heading into 2020.
It's the first 5 years of existence.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful, man. My dear students. Yeah, had dominion, Rav Ovadia. What are you talking about? When he walked the crowd around him, oh, that was. It was like the Gemara in Yuma describing the Kohen Gadol with the crowd around him, okay? Rav Ovadia, what are you talking about? My dear students, could you picture the Rav visiting in Israel and not giving a shiur in Heichal Shlomo? The biggest Zionist Talmud Chacham in the world, who published Kol Dodi Dofek, is not going to give a shiur in Heichal Shlomo? Can you picture the Rav giving a shiur in Heichal Shlomo and his family yelling, shouting, criticizing? It didn't work. I can tell you that, remember, I was a practicing rabbi for a decade, and I was a member of RCA. And RCA, the Gedolim HaShavaretz, Rabbi Louis Bernstein, Rabbi David Hollander, I mean, Rabbi Heschel Schachter, these are, I looked up, Rabbi Joe Lookstein, Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein, Rabbi Leo Young, it's a who's who. And I was in the rabbinate, and the Rav, the high point, the very convention, the Rav would finish the shiur, the lecture, and he would say, I'm trying to get it out of my mouth in English, Simon, but I'm living it in Yiddish. He would say, Avraham, you know that I never ask you for money for my lectures. But I do have a right to ask you to help support one of the most important kollelim in the world, the kollel of Mein Vetter. That's my uncle, Reb Velvel in Yerushalayim. I would greatly appreciate it if you would write out checks for the Brisk Yeshiva. And hundreds of checks were written on the spot, including my own humble checks. Brisk Yeshiva, Jerusalem. So look what Reb Heschel is saying here, look at that footnote. It's us. We're living it. We're part of it. And yes, this is the Soloveitchik family. Blood is thicker than mud. If you meet some of the Brisker from Geula and you'll talk about the Rav, they will assure you that the Rav was not a Tzioni. It was just in America at that time. That was the way you were able to inculcate religion and Torah. And they view the Rav, you know, as Rav Velvel's favorite nephew, who spoke in learning with Rav Velvel, corresponded with Rav Velvel. Wow. But that's revival. Heichal Shlomo, Ziyuf HaTorah. Women's prayer groups, according to Rav Heschel Shechta, Ziyuf HaTorah. Right, we have a lot more to do. It's an unbelievable tshuva, filled with sources, and you'll see what he develops. I cannot say they're black and white halachic sources. In other words, you'll all understand yourself. Both Reb Menashe Klein, where he comes up with Takanit Ezra, going to mikvah. I'm very curious if anyone listening can let me know if they saw women. I know men go to mikvah. Hundreds of men are pushing into the mikvah. I know myself what goes on. I know what goes on around the back end of the shtibul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. I know what goes on in Rehov Ha'ari with the men's mikvah. I know what goes on in Givat Mordechai, Nachla'ot. Some of the mikvot are women's mikvot, but that day it's only men who are allowed in by day. Oh, what goes on, what goes on. I've never yet seen women pushing in to go to mikvah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. But Reb Menashe Klein, interesting. I wonder where he got this from. Okay, but you see, they're coming out with reasons. There's a feeling it's wrong. But halachically, what are the women? The women say, look, we're going to accept like Reb Moshe's tshuva, like Rabbi Riskin, all that went on. We're going to go into a separate room. We're not going to say Kaddish. We're not going to say Kedusha. We're just going to daven together to have the feeling of unity between the women, of some sort of tefillah b'tzipa. What's wrong with it? Ziyuf HaTorah. We'll go further in a second. Rabbi Rubin, what did you want to ask?
Was it the intention of Rabbi Herzog of Maimon to start a Sanhedrin?
Or
is this one of those
nods? No, it wasn't the... No, we have to be honest. It wasn't the intention of Rabbi Herzog, but Rabbi Maimon already wrote about it. Chidush HaSanhedrin b'yameinu. It's the Rambam in Hilchot Sanhedrin. If all the Nirali, you know what I'm talking about, Nirali, if all the Chachmei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael would come together, they could restart, they could re-jump the smicha, the original smicha. No, on that basis, the world was shaking. There's no doubt in my mind that some of the Rabbanim really thought this is a state of Israel, it's Reshit Gulatenu, it's a Kibbutz Galiot, and you need a Sanhedrin. There are questions coming up today. I mean, I give you a simple example. Over the weekend, if you saw the weekend papers, we now have a school to train yeshiva boys to become policemen. Do you know the questions involved? How can you be a policeman? There's a robbery on Shabbos, okay? Your building is broken into. You call the police. No, what should the police say to you? It's not pikuach nefesh. Why do we have to come? I saw a robbery where it wasn't a robbery. It was a bakery in Rehov Palmach, Angels. Whoever has that subsidiary of Angels, that sniff, that branch, the glass was all broken. I think it was Shavuos night or Sukkot night, whatever. I was going to my daughter and, wow, police came. I see policemen jump out and there's a policeman, a young man in his late 20s with a big kippah, with a flashlight, with some sophisticated equipment to take fingerprints. No, what's the pikuach nefesh? So you lost 20,000 shekel. So what? Delicate question or not? You are now, Yitzchak Rubin Jr. is now joined the police. You're assigned to patrol the beach in Tel Aviv on Shabbos. What are you patrolling for? Who told them to go to the beach? You're now in a car. It's a crash. They call you. Why should you go? No one is injured. Two cars are dented. There's substantial damage. No pikuach nefesh. Who the heck told you to drive on Shabbat? You understand? It's not an army. An army, it's much easier to create an army like we have that Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrut, because on Shabbat there's no training, but bitachon batash, bitachon shotef. Bitachon shotef is habola hakecha ashken v'hargo. It's not a shayla, but a police force. And we can go on and on with examples. No, don't you need a Sanhedrin to guide us, to innovate, to make takana, to make gezerah, to paskin shaylat? These are abnormal circumstances. You follow? What about Herbie in the concentration camps? What did you eat Pesach? Did you eat beans? You were never. So one second. Where were you during Pesach? Where? In hiding. Okay, you're hiding. What did you eat Pesach?
Whatever the lady brought up.
There's a Goyish lady.
Right.
You didn't ask any shayles. You wait. Okay. Nu chu paskins. That's pikuach nefesh. It's not a question. What about the state of Israel, the early years? People, there was a famine here. Tzena. You couldn't. Nu, are you allowed to eat beans on Pesach? The Sfadim have it made. They can have beans and nuts, and they never have a shayler and string beans and chumis. It all comes today in Israel, kosher l'Pesach. They can, no, the people are starving. Don't you need a Sanhedrin to answer authoritatively? In other words, these people were thinking, were dreaming about it. But the Briska Rav was worried. You understand? All right, let me tell you more. All right, I'm going to let secrets out of my sleeves today. A group of rabbis from RCA, the 50s, visited Israel, visited the Briska Rav. I know some of the rabbis. I knew, I heard the story from eyewitnesses. Among them was Zev Siegel. Remember Rabbi Siegel?
Yes.
Six 6'4", like a linebacker.
Hadris
Panim. So he told me, they came into the Briska Rav, and the Briska Rav, Amerikanische Rabbanim, Phosphor Rabbanim's idea. Zetos Keita on, take a look what's going on here. And he tells his son, one of his sons, bring me my clippings from the newspaper. And they brought over a whole group of clippings on innovations of Kibbutz Adati. No, I remember one of the innovations. Monday and Thursday. How come you finished davening 15 minutes later than Tuesday, Wednesday? So, all right, Kriya Satira. What else? Long Tachman. Why is it when you say to Steve Bressler, oh, there's a Brit in your shul tomorrow, his face smiles or he says it ain't worth it? Tuesday, Wednesday, big deal, there's a Brit, so you don't say Tachman. That Tachman takes 1 minute. Ah, Monday, Thursday is the long Tachman, and all that you say and the keylot you describe and the situation of the Jews. Steve is dancing a kazatska. No Tachman. No, I want to, right, so I want to ask you.
It's short.
It's short, right?
I said it anyway because I didn't know it was a
seal. Right. So, there's a shul in London, Rabbi Kimchi Shul, where there are lights, and they have different colored lights which tell you yes Tachman, no Tachman, and why they don't say Tachman. One light means a yard site, one light means a Brit, one light means a Shev. There's a Sheva Brachas here, etc. A Chatz, a Chatan. So, you see, I'll never forget this. I said, so what did the Kibbutz Adati innovate? Okay, milking cows with the machine, you know, on Shabbos, or milking with your own hands, Sab Bal Chai. Right, can understand, but that's a machlekes ha'poskim. There are many tshuvot written on it. We spoke about it in class in great detail years and years ago. Okay. Povaskins, what? So one of the innovations, they abolished the long tachman. Why do we say the long tachman? Natan, what's the source? What's the so? What do you want out of us? And some of that is not true anymore. We're not the, although it's all true. We still, Mashiach is not here, if you ask me. But some people say, look, it says downtrodden, oppressed. We have the atom bomb today. If we didn't have the atom bomb, we wouldn't be here. Baruch Hashem. Shimon Peres has Aricha German type me as well. Yeah, among his good deeds is that he got us the atom bomb. Fine. They were worried stiff. It begins with not saying Tachnun Tuesday, Wednesday, And before you know it, there's no second day Yontif. You understand? This is what they were worried about. Why is there a second day Yontif? You have a calendar. You go to a computer. It'll tell you exactly every Monday, Thursday, and every day.
Is it extrapolated like that?
I'm saying it. I don't know what they... But that's what they were worried. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ziyuf HaTorah. And that's one of the main reasons the Rav didn't visit. Now I can tell you, let me reveal my secrets, because my friends are dying one by one. And if I don't reveal this, it won't be known. Gentlemen, I want to tell you the truth. The early 70s, the RCA people who were close to the Rav drove him crazy. Rebbe, you have to visit Israel, you have to visit the Liechtensteins. Little Tanya looks like your late wife. The Rav's face lit up. You know, they knew what was happening here. You have to see Shai. They were born in Israel. So the Rav, they said, Rebbe, there's the new speed plane. What was it called? The plane that they stopped. It doesn't fly anymore because it made too much noise. The Concorde. We'll arrange for Rebbe to take the Concorde to London. You'll stay in a hotel a few days, and then you go on to Israel. You won't overexert your body. And the Rav, you know, the 70s was not that well. The Rav agreed. All the arrangements were made, and we at this end put together for every day of the week a different Talmud would be responsible for Rebbe. And they told him, don't worry about your family. You're not going to give public shiurim. You're going to visit your Talmudim in Israel, and they'll take you to see the land. One day you'll be in Haifa, Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim. Everything was arranged. Never worked out. He just didn't have the energy. Now, if you people are wise, then there's a book that you should know by heart. If you don't know that book by heart, Donnie Kaplan, you will not know how to breathe air. You know what that book is called? Who is the first president of the United States? That's exactly what the book is called. Okay? If you look into that volume carefully, and don't just read it like you're reading on a website, today's New York Times. If you look in carefully, you're going to see in 75 how they were pleading with the Rav to come to Israel. And what was one of the big problems? What will his family say? And what they write there to the Rav, Rebbe, maybe when you first come, they'll demonstrate, they'll yell, they'll shout, but you're going to be in a different world altogether. You're going to be in Givat HaRakafot, that little mountain range between Beit Vagan, which is way up the hill, and Givat Mordechai, and you give shirm to your Talmidim. After they yell and shout for a few weeks or so, you'll be forgotten. You'll be in your world. They'll be in their world. Read the letter by Rabbi Leonard Rosenfeld to the Rav. Natan, what's up? Okay. Gentlemen, let's go a little further. Oh boy, we have a lot of material this week. Today's shiur, tomorrow is very interesting as well. Very, very interesting. Okay. Then he raises another question. By the way, Reb Heschel has a tremendous fund of knowledge, particularly Achronim. I've been saying this for generations already. Reb Heschel quotes sources that the Rav never held in his hand. You understand? The Rav was a brisker. Reb Moshe, Reb Moshe Feinstein, the Rav, they were brisker. You quote an Achron to them, unless it's the Noda Yehuda or the Tam Sefer, they'll look at you. What are you quoting? What is it? But Reb Heschel has a tremendous knowledge here. And some of these Sfarim, you can look at. Gidi, you're coming back, right?
I'll come back, don't worry.
Okay, if you meet a few guys in the hall, drag them in by their ears. You got it. So now we have a minion, but you'll see why I want a bigger minion in 1 minute. So he quotes here Achronim, who deal with a very interesting question. You have a big shul, and some balabas sechveis wants to start a little shtibble. Should he? And you should know, lachatchila, absolutely not. Avraham, why? Barovam hadrat melech. Megillah reading. If you have a choice to go to two different Bukharan shuls in Kew Gardens Hills, and one has 1,000 people and one has 25 people, you know which one you should go to? Exactly. Me'ikar hadin barov am. It's a special din in Kriyat Megillah. But these achronim hold and they give sources. So Reb Heschel here goes, is very, very sharp. He says, women are breaking away. Ultimately, you're going to have two different shuls. The big shul and a little prayer group of women. Where is the Rov Am Hadrat Melech? Wow. Women are Ambifnei Atzmam in relation to Tachshit and the Sugi and Shabbos, that we have to understand what a woman values as a Tachshit, which would not be a Tachshit for a man. But that does not affect this thinking. It doesn't mean Ambifnei Atzmam that they have a right to separate from the main minyan.
But are they called, are they part of the Am for this din of Rov Am?
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
Because Esther, what do you want out of the whole nace comes about through Esther. The whole Jewish people, Hanukkah comes about through women. You see, Yitzhak Ryan comes about through women. Nu, Barovam, Hadrat Malach. That's what Reb Heschel is saying. It will dingin mit them, mit ken dingin. But you can argue if you want. But that's what Reb Heschel is saying. No, that's what.
They're not part of the Tibur.
No, he says.
So the same argument can be used on Monday morning to say that a Chabad minyan shouldn't exist in a small town because they're making
us. That absolutely is part of what we spoke about with the criticism of it's my way or the highway, but what can we do? Gentlemen, halacha lemaisa, any 10 Jews can go and open a synagogue, la kavod la teferet, kinat sof from Taber Chachma. The more shuls, the more rabbanim, but the hilchata, the meshichata, the bigger the shul, the more united we are. You were in Moscow. You remember what went on there. When I remember, I was the Nachshon Ben Aminadab. I was the start of it. When I came, the handful of frum balei tshuva among the Sirufnikim, b'shalom b'shalva, ooh, how they got along. No, within 2-3 years, what machloket? But ultimately, out of the machloket, more and more Jews were attracted. Those who wanted to go like Polanski, those who wanted to go like Essas, the Shifrins in the middle, you remember the matzav there. So what can I say? There's hilchata the meshichata, and there is reality. But Reb Heschel Shechter is very sharp that the Jews, you don't split. The bigger the shul, the bigger the hadrat am. And you want a proof? Tell me, are women chayv in Korban Pesach?
Yes.
Okay, so you've answered your own question.
No.
No. Yomo, I got to go one more point.
Didn't the Gra tell his daughters not to go to shul?
That's a big proof against Reb Heschel. That's a big proof against Reb Heschel. Absolutely. What we spoke, what Reb Menashe Klein quoted, last week I did it, where the Gror in his famous ethical will, when he's on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and he tells his wife, don't let our daughters go to shul. And no one can accuse the Gror of not being medaktek b'mitzvah kalaka chamura. So I have to say, if you ask me my honest opinion, on that issue, Reb Menashe Klein is right. Reb Heschel, I don't want to say is incorrect, but Reb Menashe Klein certainly has hit the nail on the head. And my wife swears to me that she never heard any of her her grandmother's generation. They were all Hasidic Yidden. My wife is named after her grandmother's sister, who was a Rebbetzin. Malka was a Rebbetzin. They never went to shul, not Shabbos, not Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah to hear Tkiyat HaShofar, and on Yom Kippur, part of the davening. I would imagine they went for Yiska and perhaps Ne'ilah. You follow? So that would be a strong proof to, and I never yet saw women going to mikvah on that issue. I don't see where Rabbi Menashe Klein came up with it. That's why I'm asking. I never heard of it, never saw it. But you're absolutely right. But nevertheless, my proof from Korban Pesach is very powerful. Heim hayu ba'oto hanes, as Chazal say. Okay, let me just go one step further, that Reb Heschel raises the idea that what does this mean? The women want to have their own prayer groups. It's a feeling that the women have, and you see, he's trying to go into their mentality that they want to show they are as good as anybody, and that this is. Yesh lenoshim hagasha zu shezer hu chadava shelahem. And they feel, you know, we can lay in, we can daven from Omid. Well, by the way, we're not saying they're saying Kaddush or Kedusha, but the original prayer groups followed what Rav Moshe told them, what the Rav told them, and these people have that feeling, you see, we have arrived. It's like Virginia Slims not being arrested for smoking in public. I mean, you know I'm talking about Virginia Slims? Well,
a different generation.
My generation, about 100 years ago, even before 100 years, there was, you know, the suffragettes, the big fight, and women did not have the vote. Are you aware that when the Jewish agency was organized and everything was put to a vote, that Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook was against women having a vote? Are you aware of that? Well, you should be aware of that. So when anyone says to you, Rav Cook was a make-heel, you smack their face and charge them for showing idiocy. Got it? So Rav Cook was opposed to women voting. So Virginia Slims, if a woman smoked in public, they thought it was a sign that she was a wanton woman, a loose woman, and they jailed her. Then there were big outcries. Men can smoke in public. Finally, Virginia Slim smoked in public and they didn't jail her. So that's the expression, okay? So Rav Heschel is saying that the women, they feel liberated. And he says, look, I can understand this thinking. But with all this thinking, you don't tamper with the halacha. And he quotes in Yiddish, I believe he's quoting Reb Baruch Ber here. Let me just see if the name is mentioned. Quoting Reb Baruch Ber, where he says in Yiddish, Gewöhnen sich ein zu trachten normal, that a person has to train himself to think normally. And Reb Baruch Ber says, and he gives you the source here. Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Kamenetz Rosh Yeshiva. There's only one Reb Baruch Ber in the Litvische Welt. And he says, you don't measure your seichel. In other words, to say, this is my seichel. Now I want to see what the Torah says. A Torah Jew has to say, first I want to see what the Torah says, and then I will adapt my thinking accordingly. And that's the expression, I love it, Geweinen sich ein zu trachten normal. You have to train yourself to think normally. And he says, this is a feeling, or I can understand it. But this doesn't make you any better. This.
Get used to
it. Yeah, of course. You have to get your thinking You have to say, what does the Torah say?
That's the literal translation.
No, you're absolutely right. Gentlemen, we're far from finished with Reb Heschel. We're going to come time and again to the Rav. I'm going to take you back to the Litvin controversy. But what's fascinating here is this already was 1984. You're going to see next week who joins with Reb Heschel. Until today, the feminist movement, if you quote this tshuva to them, you better have your life insurance paid up. But it's very fascinating, because look at the difference between Reb Menashe and Reb Heschel on Tfilah B'Tzibor obligation. Reb Heschel, ad kedei kach, that if a woman doesn't hear Baruch Hu, she's not Yotzei B'Shleimut, who has to be Yotzei? It's not a man. If you say this about a man, I would agree. Believe me, you're not Yotzei B'Shleimut if you don't hear Baruch Hu. And that's one of the Rav's big proofs, that Tfilah, that the Kriyat HaTorah is a Davashem B'Kedusha, because every Ola has to say Baruch Hu. And if you're saying Baruch Hu, it shows it's a Davashem B'Kedusha. And then that has a lot of implications, Lahalacha, by the way, whether you should be sitting or standing, etc. And what about if you heard the Kriyat HaTorah already, and someone says Baruch Hu, they have to pay attention. It is said about Rav Chaim Brisker that in Simchas Torah, Kol Zman was in the shul, he stood for Kriyas HaTorah Baruch Hu, even though he had heard it five times. Our minig is, you know, you hear it once, and then you sit there, I learn, other people chatter with their neighbors, Simchas Torah is not exactly the most decorous moment in the shul, and Rav Chaim, each time it's Tfilah, it's Dabba Shepa Kedusha B'tziba. Okay, so to reiterate, what my Mishnah are you referring to? You're talking about women. Yeah, of course. We will come to that. He quotes that as well. But women having aliyah doesn't mean they're obligated. It means that It means that in Kriyat HaTorah, the women can be part of the kiyum, and that's why they can say Birchat HaTorah. There's a lot of lumdus involved here, and that also helps answer Yomo's question, that it shows this is a Am Yisrael. There's a kiyum here, but it's a kiyum of Klal Yisrael, of Kahal Yisrael. Call it what you wish. But my problem with Reb Heschel is he takes it like a chiyuv. I would use the word there's a kiyum, but I wouldn't say the word there's a chiyuv. You understand this? That there's a very important difference. Listen, this topic, it's endless. But I always have a rule when I teach. I'm not here to show off what I know. I'm here to make very clear what I want to stress in front of you. But
your safe is still available, or it's not
appropriate? You'd have to ask in the downstairs if one of his talmidim here. Who's the talmid of Reb Heschel? There has to be someone in the kollel who would have access and can tell you right away. I believe it may have been reprinted twice. In other words, the original printing and then again. I believe that. So it should be available, but you have to find the Talmud downstairs. My dear students, to reiterate, we finished up Reb Menashe Klein on this issue to Dov Frimmer. Halacha l'maisa, he is opposed to women's prayer groups. However, Reb Heschel's tshuva is infinitely more strident than Reb Menashe Klein, and we're just in the start of scratching the surface in the tshuva.
The
same conclusion, and you'll see very, very fascinating who signs on and who they are. Tomorrow morning, Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin a very difficult topic in the sense it's heartrending, the tremendous machloket over who owns the library in Chabad. And I have to tell you, I in preparing the lectures, I thought I knew everything. I found a footnote that opened my eyes, exactly the machloket I would have with Zvi Groner. We were living this machlokes together. Zvi was talking with his uncle all the time, and I raised certain issues, and I can't believe it. those issues are in the footnote and Nat Lewin. So you will see very fascinating this. Ratanotain la Yov Koach. This is for Rabbi Rubin. Rabbi Rubin, this is for Michael Miller. It's the source he asked me for. Okay? If any, we had a Talmud in the Kollel, Ephraim Goldberg. He today is a very famous American rabbi in Boca Raton. This is a drusha he gave on the rabbinic Achilles heel. Very fascinating. He almost sent it to me. And every rav should read this drusha and know it. This is for those of you who love Shtissel. Shtissel gave birth to a whole literature of artists in the Haredi community. So it's yours. And this, I can't get over. This is an article in the Yukon last week on who Trump is. No wonder I was asking Shul, someone from the Israeli radio TV, Davins, with me morning during the week and on Shabbos, and he came over to me. He shall merit Shabbat. Here's a picture of Jared, brother-in-law of my Talmidah, with Ivanka, and this was snapped by a newspaper reporter following famous people around. And he's carrying a lulav and etrog. It was evidently Sukkot coming home from shul. And in the newspaper, when they write it up, you know, these gossip columns, and here was Ivanka walking with her husband.
Her name is Yael, by the way.
Yael, correct, pushing the baby. What is he carrying? And these idiots didn't know enough to ask a Jew, or at least a Jew who knows something. They think it's flowers that he's taking home for his wife. Okay. Herb, who can be our chazan here?
Show you what I...
One second. Herb is going to show you something that...
No, I'm going to show you.
Show the class.
Remember the little thing you gave me?
Right. Wow. Show the class. This is...
The picture I gave out last week.
So Herb, this is a picture of Moshe Feinstein, the Rav, and the Rabir right. Kutler. Wow. All right. Gedole Hador b'Yisrael. Very nice. Very, very nice. Kanayin Hara. You should be Zeicha to paint for many festivals. Rabbi Rubin, you want to stop him first? Who do we know? Steve?
Danny.